All right, I want to call your attention tonight to the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. May we pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to assemble here to worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you tonight for loving us and caring for us. We ask you tonight, Lord, that your word might penetrate into the deepest recesses of our heart. That, Lord, tonight the light might shine tonight into our darkness and show your great love and for us and show our great need of you. And, Lord, for everything that's done, we ask tonight that, Lord, you might be lifted up and your Son, Jesus Christ, might be exalted. In his name I pray. Amen and amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 8, and a lot of things in this chapter, but I want to begin in verse number 32, and read a couple of three verses here tonight for our text. And he spake that openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And we often wondered how in the world could you rebuke the Lord, but here Peter, of course, the big fisherman, had not yet came to the day of Pentecost and been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And he took issue with what Jesus was saying because Jesus was here teaching that he wasn't at this time going to set up an earthly kingdom, but that his kingdom was yet a time off and that he had to go and that he would be suffer many things and be rejected and of the elders and the chief priest and the scribes and be killed, be crucified tonight. But also he made the promise of a resurrection after 3 days and nights in the tomb. And, of course, Peter took issue with that, and he rebuked him tonight. But what did the Lord do? But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Kind of like the fellow I heard about that was kind of a tightwad. And one day his wife came in with a box and he said, "What's in the box?" And she said, "Oh, nothing." He said, "I want to see what's in the box." And finally she opened up the box and there was a new dress. And he said, "What in the world you need with a new dress?" And she said, "Oh, it looks so good." She said, "I just had to try it on," and said, "it just looked so good I had to buy it." And he said, "Well, why in the world didn't you say, 'Get behind me, Satan'?" She said, "I did." But he said, "Man, it looks good back here too." So, you know. But what Jesus is teaching us here tonight and teaching Peter tonight, that it wasn't the Lord speaking, but it was Satan. And he was saying, "Peter, you're not savoring the things that be of God. You're not tonight looking forward to the kingdom of God as it really is. But you're looking tonight for a position in an earthly kingdom." Another passage of scripture where Peter asked him that they had left all and followed him, what would they receive? And so Peter tonight was looking to be rewarded for his service, for his time that he spent as following Jesus during his earthly ministry. And Jesus said, "You know, you're not savoring the real important things. You're not savoring those things that be of God, but things that be of men." I wonder how often tonight that the Lord could say that of you and I. That we really, are we really savoring, are we really desiring those things that be of God? Are we really desirous of the Lord and those things tonight that are his? Or are we desirous tonight of the things that be of men? I heard two preachers talking recently, and I was eavesdropping, I guess you could say. I didn't really mean to. They were just talking, and I was at a place, and one of them was talking about education, and he was talking to this young preacher, and he said, "Well, if you're going to do this, you need to get this kind of degree, and if you're going to do this, you need to get this kind of degree to make sure you're a success in what you do." I thought about that later, and tonight we're savoring the things of men instead of the things of God. And so Jesus here is teaching us that there's something far more important than being considered a success by men, than obtaining a position in this world, of obtaining wealth and power in this walk of life. In verse 34, the Bible says then that Jesus called the people unto him with his disciples. Now he gathers the whole crowd. And this is what he says unto them: whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you want tonight to come after me, if you want tonight to become my disciple, if you want tonight to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus gives us what we have to do right here in this verse this evening. And you see, Jesus is here not calling the people to come to a church or come to a creed or come to a denomination, not even come to a belief or a conviction. He's not asking them tonight to follow anything but himself. He says, if a man, whosoever will, and that means anybody, if you want to come after the Lord and you want to follow Jesus tonight, you want to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and tonight you want to do what the Lord wants you to do, then Jesus tonight, very simply tonight, tells us what we have to do in this verse of Scripture. And sometimes the simplicity that's in Christ is so simple tonight that we miss it. We want to try to figure things out and try to complicate a lot of things tonight. That's one reason I love young children. They never complicate things. They always tonight just make it very simple tonight. And here Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When we read that tonight, and through the years I've heard a lot of people talk about taking up the cross, and we begin to wonder, and people say, what is the cross? Some people tonight think tonight that the cross is burdens and problems and troubles that we have in this life. That's not always the case. They may be associated with it tonight, but that's not the cross that Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking tonight about a nagging wife or a bad husband. He's not talking here tonight about all of the things that we sometimes would think would be bad to have to have. But he's saying that tonight, if you want to take up your, if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross. Now, the cross had a very special significance here for those Jews that were hearing what Jesus had to say. The cross was a method of execution. It was a very cruel and torturous way to die. It had been used by the Grecians and the Persians and had been refined to a science by the Romans. It was used primarily for the vilest of criminals. It was used of Jews who refused to obey and continued to resist against the Roman government. It was reserved for murderers and thieves. Usually, as we could, as we know what happened to Jesus, they would take him out to a hill so that everybody could see what was transpiring, and there they would crucify them on a cruel cross. By nailing them to a cross and oftentimes even breaking their legs so that they would die a slow and torturous death. So every Jew that the Lord was speaking to here knew that he was speaking about a cross. And you see, Jesus had begun to teach them that he was going to Jerusalem. And there he would be rejected, and there he would be crucified. And that was the cross that the Lord Jesus was going to bear. You see, the cross that the Lord Jesus was going to bear was to die for the sins of the world, was to tonight give his life in exchange for our life, to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The cross of Jesus was where he died. But understand this, the cross tonight was Jesus, and the Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians that he became obedient, even to the obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He looked in the bitter cup in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. The cross that Jesus bore is not the cross that you and I bear in one way, but it is in another way. You see, Jesus came to do what? The will of God. He came tonight to do what the Lord needed him to do. He laid aside the royal garments of glory and came into this world as a babe through a virgin womb in Bethlehem's barn. He came into this world tonight born into a common family, into a carpenter's family. He walked upon this earth. He hungered and he thirsted. He got tired. And he came tonight to very simply do the will of God, to do what God wanted him to do, and he was willing to lay aside everything to come to the cross. I believe that's what he's teaching us here this evening. I believe that's what he's teaching tonight here in this verse of Scripture. That what we have to be willing to do is lay aside everything else and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers several years ago, and he was talking about one time he was talking to a Romanian pastor who had been persecuted and suffered many things because he was a witness for the Lord and pastored a church over in communist Romania. And he asked this man by the name of Joseph Tisov, I believe was his name, and he asked him, he said, what do you think is the difference in Romanian Christianity and American Christianity? And the pastor said, well, Brother Rogers, I love you so much, but since you've asked, I'm going to tell you. He said, the real difference tonight in Romanian Christianity and American Christianity is the difference between commitment and surrender. He said, you Americans are willing to commit. You commit to many things, but you're not willing to surrender. And I thought, well, what's he talking about? And he said, Brother Rogers, commitment means you're still in control. You commit to pay a debt. You commit to do this, or you commit to do that, but yet it's still under your control. It's still doing it at your will and at your time and at your pace, and doing what you want to do. And you're still controlling the situations and the circumstances. But he says surrender is when you put the Lord in control. When you say, Lord, you're in charge. Lord, you're in control this evening. You see, surrender simply means give it all to the Lord. Several years ago, I was working at Kerr McGee, and There was a man worked there, and he worked for one of the contractors. And he could talk real fast, and sometimes he could talk real funny. He'd been gone for 2 or 3 months, and he came back, and we was in the break room, and somebody said, "Randy, where you been?" "They sent me to Jackson." I said, "Well, what were you doing?" He said, "I was down there working." But he said, "I ain't going back." I said, "Randy, why ain't you going back?" He said, man, I tell you." He said, I was down there. I said, "I went to one of them convenience stores." And he said, "I was in that convenience store." And he said, that was this guy come in there and said he had a gun and said the barrel was that big around. And said he looked over at that clerk and he told him, "I want all the money in the cash register." He looked over at me and he said, "Don't you move." Somebody said, "Randy, what'd you do?" He said, "My mama didn't raise no fool. I didn't move." That's surrender. When you tonight say, "Hey, I'm not committing. I'm surrendering. I got my hands up." That's what we have to do with the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying here. We deny ourselves. And we take up our cross. We say, "Lord, we put everything in your hands. We give it all to you. It's yours." Sometimes that's real hard to do, as I said this morning. But you know, it's hard to say, "Lord, this is your car. If you want to wreck it, wreck it. Lord, this is your house. If you want to burn it, burn it. Lord, this is your money. If you want it to be gone, let it be gone. But Lord, it's yours. You do what you want to with it. You're in charge." That's what Jesus is saying. We have to be willing to divest ourselves of everything, as did he. He laid aside everything to come into this world to become our Savior. Now you think about that. He laid it all aside. You know, you wonder. Sometimes my little old mind wonders about things. And why didn't the Lord just say, "Hey, the world needs saving. Let's go down there and wipe out all the sin. Let's just go down there and do what we need to do and set you up a kingdom. If people want to accept you, they can. If they don't, we'll just zap them right then." But he didn't. He sent him as a little baby into a poor home. Didn't even have him room for him in the inn. And Jesus said, "I'm willing to go." He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was saying, "Lord," and he was saying to you and I, "Hey, we have to be willing to become obedient to the Lord in whatever the Lord wants us to do." That's our cross. You see, tonight he says, that's for everybody. That makes it a level playing field. You know, as I said in the beginning, everybody might not have this kind of problem, and they might not have that other kind of problem. They might not have a nagging spouse or a unfaithful spouse. They might not have these other things tonight, but everybody can say, "Hey, Lord, I'm going to hand it all to you. It's yours. I'm going to be obedient and do what you want me to do, irregardless of what it costs. It's yours." Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. Jesus went to Calvary. Jesus tonight went to Golgotha. He went to Gethsemane. He did what the Lord wanted him to do and fulfilled his mission. The Apostle Paul, as he closed out his life, and you know, you look at his life and he laid it all aside for Jesus. You know what he said about everything that he'd ever accomplished before he met the Lord? I count it all but what? Dung. It's just dung. Everything else is just dung. All my pedigree, all my power, all my everything, all my successes, everything that I had counted and thought was so great when I met the Lord, he said, now I just count it dung. It's just dung, that I might be found in him, that I might have the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, Paul was willing to lay it all aside and follow the Lord. I thought the other day, and I read this, and I read it again, and you know, sometimes when you get to my age, you say, hey, it's time to hang it up. My mind don't work as well as it used to. I can't think as quick as I used to think. I can't remember like I used to remember. I can't move as fast as I used to move, and I can't do things I used to do. But I can still serve the Lord. You believe that? I can tonight. You know, when it comes my time to go and my time tonight to exit this walk of life, comes my time to no longer be upon this earth, I hope that I can surely say that I was willing to leave it all on the field, that I give it everything that I had, that I serve the Lord with everything that I could serve him with. Doesn't mean we'll not have problems and troubles. Don't misunderstand me tonight. It doesn't mean tonight that everything will always be a cakewalk. It simply means tonight we're willing to be obedient to what the Lord would have us to do. Lay aside it all. Put it all on the line for Jesus. And Jesus said that if you do that, the Father will take care of you. It's not tonight about God blessing me or God blessing you. It's tonight about me being obedient and carrying the cross, the will of God for my life, and being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to do that this evening? That's a very simple way of discipleship. Very simple thing tonight. Jesus made it very simple for us. Are we willing to take up the cross and follow Jesus? All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, if you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message, that you use it tonight for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.